Welcome to installment 39 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's commandment is prohibition number 320, the prohibition from doing malacha or work on Shabbos. As we discussed over the last few days, there is a positive commandment to rest on Shabbos. There is also a prohibition, one of the Ten Commandments, not to work on Shabbos. Leisasa kol malacha, do not do any work. How do we define work? As discussed over the previous days, work is defined not as far as the effort which is put into the particular act. Rather, as a result of the proximity of these two cases in the Chumash, we compare the work on Shabbos with the work which was done in construction of the tabernacle or the Mishkan, in which the Jews served God in the desert. There are 39 general categories which are considered to be work. Although we cannot list all of these 39, we will describe some of them in a general fashion and group them. The first 11 are called Sidura de Pas, acts necessary for growing wheat, making flour, and baking bread. They were also necessary in order to manufacture dye, colors for the Mishkan. They start off with plowing the ground, sowing, reaping, and so on, including separating unwanted materials from the flour, and all the way to the step of grinding, kneading them together, and baking. Just a few examples of the relevant laws would be separating something you do not want from something you do, such as articles of clothing one from another, or taking pieces of something, of food, and connecting them together through the addition of a liquid, such as making baby cereal, or even an egg salad, which must be done in certain ways, and also heating up food, even if it is not done over a fire, even through indirect heat. The next 13 malachas have to do with the wool which was used for covering the Mishkan. In order to process the wool, shearing it from the animal and dyeing it and so on, and also weaving it into coverings for the Mishkan, the tying knots and sewing them together and so on. Then there were 7 malachas which were used in order to make the hides, the skins which were also used to cover the Mishkan, trapping the animal, skinning it, tanning it, and cutting the pieces to size. So too, writing and erasing, which was necessary for constructing the boards of the Mishkan, building and demolishing, completing any act with a hammer or through another act of completion, carrying from one domain to another, extinguishing or lighting a fire, all of these are included under malachas, or acts of forbidden work. The laws of Shabbos are extremely complex and require a great deal of study in order that the Shabbos should be properly observed. The laws are discussed in detail in the tractate Shabbos. There are cases in which these forbidden malachas are allowed on Shabbos. We have the law of pekuach nefesh, when a life is in danger. And even if there is a doubt that perhaps the life can be saved, nevertheless we violate the Shabbos. An example is given in the Talmud that a wall collapsed on people. When we see that certainly no one has survived and they are all dead, we are forbidden from excavating the place of this tragic occurrence, because a life cannot be saved. However, if even possibly someone is there who can be saved, the Shabbos is certainly violated. And we are told that the most respected and holiest people of the community should take part in this, in order that people should not think that it is a forbidden act on Shabbos. The story is told of the Alter Rebbe, that one Yom Kippur, which is Shabbos Shabbosin, which has all of the laws of Shabbos, once left in the middle of the prayers and was found to be at the home of a very sick woman where he was chopping wood, which is certainly forbidden on Shabbos. Since her life was in danger, he was showing everyone that this is the proper thing to do, and he chopped wood in order that she should be warm and she should be healthy and her life should not be endangered, as clearly her case was a life-threatening one. We should understand that when we have in the laws of Shabbos that in a case of a life-threatening situation, that we should violate the Shabbos, that in reality this is not a violation of Shabbos. Rather, this is honoring the Shabbos. It is as if the Shabbos itself is telling us that we should, in this case, violate it. As the Talmud says, why is it we are allowed to violate the Shabbos? We violate one Shabbos, says the Talmud, in order that later on this person should be able to keep many Shabbosim. Therefore, the Shabbos itself instructs us that if you want to honor me in the case where a life is in danger, you should violate me temporarily in order that it should be observed permanently. However, this applies when violating the Shabbos is incidental in a way to saving of the life. If we have a case where non-Jews should tell the Jewish people that we want you to work on the Sabbath, and if you do not work, we will kill you if you keep to your religion. In this case, one is required to risk one's life and put one's life on the line. That since this is not only a case of Shabbos, this is directly leading a Jew to rejecting God, kfira, and a denial of God and His laws. In this case, it is considered to be like idol worship, and therefore we are forbidden from violating the Shabbos under such circumstances. The penalty dictated in the Torah for violation of the Shabbos is an extremely harsh one. Someone who violates the Shabbos in the presence of witnesses and is judged in a court case to have violated the Shabbos is punishable by death, and an extreme form of death, skila, by stoning. Should there not be sufficient evidence to convict the person that violated the Shabbos intentionally is punished by kores, excision, a cutting off of the soul. Furthermore, for someone that violated the Shabbos unintentionally, b'shegeg, for example, not knowing that a certain act is forbidden, they must bring a korban chatas, a sin offering. Furthermore, we are told that even when someone, up till now, this is in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs, it is mentioned in other writings that even when someone violates the Shabbos totally unknowingly and unintentionally, for example, when someone by reaction flipped on a light switch, which is not even called unintentionally, this time the person did the action automatically. It is more like onus. The person was, so to speak, forced to do this act as a result of their automatic reaction. Even such an act requires tshuva or repentance. The story is told of a certain Balagola, a wagon driver, who used to travel outside the city in order to do his business. One time he was delayed in coming home from the Shabbos, and by the time he reached home, he discovered that the Shabbos had already begun. He was tremendously upset and went to the local Rav, the rabbi of the community, to beg forgiveness. How could he attain forgiveness for such an act? Seeing that this wagon driver sincerely regretted what he had done and certainly never would do it again, the rabbi was lenient and he said that he should give tzedakah, he should give a charity donation. For example, he should bring 1 pound of candles and donate it to the synagogue in honor of the Shabbos, in order that the candles should be lit Friday night. This wagon driver immediately went to fulfill this suggestion of the Rav. However, there was a young man sitting nearby listening to the conversation, and he was Reb Michal Zlotchever, who later on became a great Hasidic leader. And upon hearing this judgment of the Rav, he was shocked. How could it be the person did such a severe act of violating the Shabbos? How could he be forgiven just for 1 pound of candles? The following Friday, the wagon driver brought his candles, and he brought them Friday afternoon and left them in the synagogue. However, he found that when the person in charge of lighting the candles had come to use these candles, a dog had preceded him. A dog had run into the shul and chewed up these candles. He was extremely upset, and the next Friday again tried to buy candles. However, something happened that Friday also. They did not light properly. They were lit and immediately melted away. They didn't even last into Shabbos. He went to the Rav and said that obviously his repentance was not being accepted. The Rav calmed him down and said that he should consider them to be coincidences. But then the third Shabbos, he tried again to light these candles, and the wind came suddenly and blew out all of his candles. At this time, everyone was convinced that there was something wrong, something lacking here, something rejected by his tshuva. Therefore, the Rav suggested that he go to the Baal Shem Tov As the Rav thought that perhaps the young man, he noticed Rav Michal Zlotchever, was unhappy about this tshuva, and he said perhaps with his holy powers, he was interfering with your repentance. When he came to the Baal Shem Tov told him that your Rav's advice was correct. I want you next Friday to buy a pound of candles just like the Rav suggested. This time you will light them and nothing will go wrong. And when you come back, I want you to deliver this letter to Reb Michal. The wagon driver came home, and as the Baal Shem Tov suggested, gave the letter to Reb Michal. Friday came, and the Shabbos candles were lit undisturbed, and everything went smoothly. What was written in Reb Michal's letter? It was written on the Tuesday or Wednesday that he received it, that the Baal Shem Tov suggested he come immediately to Mezhebozh to visit the Baal Shem Tov, that he hire a wagon and leave immediately. Remind you, he had several days to reach there before Shabbos, and normally the journey only took a few hours. However, all sorts of problems erupted. The horses got lost, and they wandered, and went in the wrong direction. And finally, when they came to Mezhebozh, it was only moments before Shabbos arrived. When the Reb Michal came into the Baal Shem Tov told him that the only reason you did not violate the Shabbos is because I personally intervened spiritually to prevent you from transgressing it. And this should be a lesson, that if a Jew accidentally comes to transgress the Shabbos, and he sincerely regrets it with all of his heart, and he asks for forgiveness out of a broken heart, then even bringing a pound of candles is certainly more than enough repentance for him. And he should be quickly and totally forgiven.